debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Welcome to Off the Rails. This is not the song I wanted to come into. Some royalty-free rock music.
Hell yeah.
I hate this type of music, not because it's bad, but it's like the opposite of nostalgic. It reminds me of a bad time in my past. You know, sometimes nostalgia brings up good times in your past, and you're like, oh, when I was like a kid, or when I was like really rolling hard with the boys, and when I was like hot, whatever. That just reminds me of working at WRIF Riff in Detroit, and now I hate all rock music or anything stock rock. You know, that's basically what it is. It's like, that could be any rock band. You know what I mean?
Oh, it was shitty.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Welcome to Off the Rails with Anna and Blitz, affectionately known as Blummel, since we are now spouses.
What?
Life partners.
When did that happen?
Domestic partners. Oh, it happened. Well, it's because of Bubba. I don't know if you knew this.
Who?
Bubba set us up and kind of, I don't want to say pushed me into it. I feel like I was already leaning into it. But I kind of needed a nudge that everything was going to be okay if I took the plunge. And things are great. Things are really good. Things are so good, not only with my relationship, but with my life, that I feel guilty.
What?
I feel guilty. As the country suffers, as the world suffers, between rising gas prices and homelessness and OD, suicides, mental health, wars abroad and culture wars, domestic shootings, all this horrible shit is going on. And I'm like, I've never been better. You know, I'm that person now.
Well, it's like during COVID. When everyone's locked down and we can't go anywhere, they don't go to work, and we're like, well, nothing's wrong. Like, we're just driving to work every day.
Like, as Floridians or just as us?
Both.
Okay.
Well, see, that's right. You weren't here like when it was like lockdown.
I got here about 3 months after that.
Yeah. So like when it was like lockdown, and like no one, like the remember the 2 weeks to
stop the spread
and
turned
no
into
one,
2 years,
and no one left their house or did anything.
Yeah,
like we're still coming to work and like there's nobody on the streets.
Yeah,
God,
I was
that
still
was so nice.
Yeah, when it comes to traffic, for sure. But
and cops were like afraid to pull you over
because they didn't want to get COVID.
Yeah,
so you could be going 150.
We like, oh, I know. Me and Dan were talking about like literally back then you could just do what you wanted on the roads and like cops weren't gonna stop you.
Unless
you like were doing other than speeding. Like if you were doing something really dumb, they would pull you over. But
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah, but with less people on the road, it's just, you know, it's obviously just safer because there's less probability of shit happening.
Yeah.
I was still working at the Bone. I was still going into work. There was never one day that I missed because it was like the lockdown. We couldn't bring in guests, and it was like really hard to get in, and you had to do all this like protocol and shit. But I was still going to work every day. But I remember being furloughed from Horn Blasters, never to return. Not because it was a bad job. It was actually a really great job. Not something I would want to do right. the rest of my life. And Matt knew that. He knew that. But, you know, it was something that at first took me about 3 months to get used to because, as you know, I'm not really well-versed when it comes to motor vehicles or anything to do with cars in general. And then all of a sudden I was in this niche market of, like, putting... you know, aftermarket horns on trucks and shit. I was just like, what the fuck? At first, why would anyone want this? And then I realized the market for it was like, it's a small niche market, but among the people or the different companies that sell horns, like Horn Blasters is number one.
Yeah.
So once I kind of turned it into a science project in my head and looked at it from that perspective, I really started to flourish and fly. And I just remember every time the guys would go to SEMA and I'd be, which is a week long convention in Vegas for cars and shit, you know about it. I was technical support. So while the guys were away for a week, if someone called in with a problem, it was this girl right here. And I remember so many times, and I actually kind of liked that when people would call in with problems and they would refer to me and they'd refer to tech support and get me,
like,
and they would be surprised. And they'd be like, oh, no, tech support? And I'm like, yep. And about 98% of the time, they gave me a chance. It was very rare that someone would be like, I want to talk to a man.
Without you saying anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Often, they would, a lot of times, people would repeat themselves. Like, oh, no, tech support? I'm like, yeah, that's tech support. And then they'd, most of the time, they'd go, well, okay. And then they would just start telling me the problem.
Right.
And often times, you know, people tend to make similar mistakes, so you hear the same shit over and over again.
Of course.
Well, my horn just leaking air. Well, the solenoid's valve is backwards. Oh, it's directional? Yes, directional valve. Okay, goodbye. Boom. Done. That was like probably 60% of the problems right there.
Sure.
So one of my, probably not my favorite day because it was the last day, but a great memory.
I already know the story.
Yes, vending machine caper.
Yes, of course.
Dude, I still have wet dreams about that. And here's the thing. So my last day, Matt comes up to me and he goes, you know, we kind of got to close up shop for a while. And I go, okay. And he goes, so this is like a few people in there is like, this is your last day. And he took a bunch of us back to where the vending machine was. And people would buy snacks and stuff from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
There was probably my last day, maybe 12 people working there total, maybe 15. We've got a bunch of guys in the warehouse packing that I'd like never met. Those people had a high turnover rate. But the people in the office would stick around for years and years and years. So we go to the vending machine, and Matt unlocks the vending machine, and it has all the snacks. And he goes, just take whatever you want. And I go, oh, okay. And I took one thing, two things. And he said, no. He said, give me your backpack. And he just starts shoveling just everything. Yeah. He's like, you want this? You want this? And he's like, do you like Snickers? I'm like, yes! Kit Kat, yes! Like this? Yes! Milky Way? Yes, yes, yes! And I swear to God, I probably got like 30 things.
Okay.
And he just threw in my backpack.
Now, at Walmart, that's a value of about $4. At a vending machine, that's probably $700.
Yes. And I remember I had all this shit in my backpack. And... it was the beginning of the 2 weeks to stop the spread sort of bullshit. And I remember thinking, you know, they're saying 2 weeks for now, but we don't know. They're like, don't leave your fucking house. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm always so, ever since I was a little kid, I've had like, I would say fat phobia. Like I was always afraid I was going to get big or.
Okay.
And that has a lot to do with, you know, my upbringing, a lot to do with my OCD, a lot to do with healthy habits gone too far and then turn into unhealthy habits. You know, you can take anything too far.
What you're saying is it's your dad's fault.
No, it's, I don't want to say fault, but it's both my parents. My mom was a dancer, not a stripper. Shut the fuck up. She was like a ballet dancer, jazz dancer.
Oh, ballet.
And she was always very body conscious. My dad was always very body conscious of women and made it known by, you know, certain comments he would make with people crossing the street. So, similar comments to things that I say now, I've realized, you know, because I am my father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always very body conscious, especially as an adolescent and an adult. And then I suddenly found myself in a unique situation where I had a ton of candy bars and just a bunch of processed shit. And I also had the unique pairing that I wasn't going to be seeing anybody for possibly months.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, well, the whole reason that I'm afraid to get big or let myself go is that I'll be seen, or, you know, I won't look good in my clubbing clothes or whatever the fucking bullshit reason you give ourselves. And I thought to myself, wow, I could literally gain and lose 10 pounds in a month and no one would know.
Sure.
Huh. I'm like, the only couple people I'm going to see is my roommate and Will and Johnny, and I ain't trying to impress any of them. So who gives a fuck? Let it eat, literally. And so probably for about 4 days, that day, it was St. Patty's Day, I remember, March 17th. And that day alone, I am not kidding you, I probably had about 8 candy bars.
Oh.
I just went fucking crazy. I just said, you know what? I want a candy bar. I would never treat myself to a candy bar for a snack on like a random Tuesday ever. And I had one, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have another one and another one and another one. And I swear to God, like those videos that I like watching so much.
Yes.
I probably ate about 8 candy bars. I felt like shit the next day and then continued to eat the rest of what I had until it was gone about 4 days later. But after a while, I got it out of my system. I ate all the things I wanted to eat. And then after 4 days, I felt like I wanted to get to the point where I didn't want to eat it anymore, because I feel like I've never really gotten to that point. It's always me stopping myself because I'm like, no, you've had enough. Stop. You know, you don't eat anymore. But I want to get to the point where I physically couldn't handle anymore and I was sickened by it. And I got to that point. It was great. I enjoyed it.
How many times does that happen?
Once.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've seen me like binge eat before.
Yeah,
but I still—it's
like somewhat healthy stuff usually.
Yeah, but even when it's not, like, I still have to put the kibosh on it in my head. Like,
right,
I have to go, okay, we've had enough now, we're done.
Yeah.
But then I got to the point where I was like, this is disgusting, and I don't. It's like it's just I don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to get to that point finally. Yeah, it took about 4 days of eating cookies and shit and just crackers and whatever I wanted. I just fucking ate and it was glorious. But unlike most people, you know, some people put on like, you know, 150 whatever pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I had 4 days of fun. I go, okay, this is enough.
There you go.
No more. You're good.
You celebrated the pandemic.
I did. I celebrated the first 4 days of the pandemic. Let's go. And then I go, okay, I'm over it. Let's get back to work, people. So that was probably, I don't know how we got there, talking about horn blasters and whatnot, but it was great. It was great. 813-90-BUBBA, I'm excited for this weekend because we got some things planned and some not things planned.
Correct.
And what I realized that I've been doing lately is, you know, because I told you I've been changing a lot in terms of my interests and going out and seeing people and things I used to really love to do. And I'm not blaming you.
No, it's
you're
menopause.
Well, you're dating a chick with menopause. So, going through menopause. Joke's on you. Or maybe joke's on me because you'll break up with me right after the show.
Yeah, I was going to say was dating.
Right. Past tense, of course. Silly me. Where was I going with that? Oh, right. So, I feel like I'm still thinking with my old brain that I want to do a lot of stuff every weekend, because I used to. I used to like want to go out a lot. I used to want to see a lot of people. I used to want to do all that stuff. So every weekend, it always seems good in theory that I want to go out and do stuff. But then when Friday rolls around, I go, I don't want to do anything.
You're like, I got to rest.
I want to rest. I want to sleep in. I want to do stuff. And we've all already like committed to one day of going out this weekend on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another friend, and this is how fucked up it is. I reached out to my buddy Will that I talk about all the time.
Yep.
And I said, what's going on with like this group of his group of friends that I used to see on a somewhat kind of regular basis? Like I was like a peripheral friend of this group. Certainly not a core friend.
Sure.
But a peripheral friend. And I haven't seen him in a while, and I asked Will, I'm like, what's going on with your friends this weekend? Because a lot of them have houses with pools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reach out, and Will goes, well, let me ask. So then the friend who owns the house with the pool reaches out to me and, you know, he knows about you. So he's like, you know, feel free to bring Chris. And I'm like, okay. And says, you know, he's having a little pool party. I say, awesome. Great. Now the pool party is tomorrow and I don't want to go. After I was the one that inquired to Will and had his friend reach out to me. And now I don't want to go, not because I don't want to see them, but I'm like, fuck. I've been running around all week. I just kind of want to sleep the fuck in, hit the gym maybe, and, you know, maybe watch some of that show that we were talking about, the Outer Ringer, Ranger, whatever. What is it?
Doesn't matter. It's called Won't Be Watching That.
Well, you can watch your fucking planes and this if, okay, folks. I watch actual shows. I watch interesting stuff, maybe even a documentary. Sometimes when I come over late at night after jujitsu, this motherfucker is listening to a guy open a clock, like full blast. Ah, if you open the clock, you move the timer. I'm just like, how the fuck is this interesting? So when about things that aren't interesting and this is boring and not for me, nothing could be more boring and mundane than the shit that you watch.
I wanted to send you a link so you could play it, but we'll get copyright struck, so I'm not going to. But there's a couple of guys that I watch that you haven't seen yet. There's one, it's a Canadian guy that opens up and fixes old gear. He would put you to sleep in a second.
You listen to the worst. There's a woman by the name of Francis or some shit.
Her name is Fran.
And this bitch is, don't know.
I'm Fran. Welcome to the lab.
This is how you characterize Fran. She is a weird white person. Well, okay.
Yeah, of course she is.
Like a weird old nerd.
Well, yeah.
I don't think she wears a bra, and she's, you know, very flat chested like myself, and her workspace is very disheveled.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It look to the untrained eye, at least, it looks very disheveled. She's a frightening human being.
I can't help it that you're untrained.
It's horrible. It's horribly boring. He'll just watch planes coming in and out, tracking them. I'm like, how is this interesting at all? I don't get it.
Because it's real.
That's fine. Who cares? So anyways, clearly we have some different interests. No big deal. You can go watch Franny in one room. I'll watch Outer Ringer or whatever in the other room. But I feel bad because now I feel like I'm getting to the point where I don't want to do anything anymore because I'm fucking old, despite my youthful-looking face. Thank you, Dr. Dan. But I'm still thinking with my old brain. I'm still thinking I want to go out and see people and do shit, which isn't nice because then, and I don't like being a flake. But I also don't, you know, need to force feed myself social interactions that I don't want anymore in the moment, which I think is okay. It's okay. No one needs me to be there, for sure. No one needs me to be at this little pool party. There'll be plenty of people there, and I certainly won't be missed because I haven't seen these people in probably since the last Memorial Day thing. I do have a distinct memory of spending Memorial Day with these people 2 years ago, and I remember the conversation was, wow, I can't believe that we're already, remember when the pandemic hit and there were different phases?
Mm-hmm.
Like phase one was like 25% in the restaurants and bars, no indoor seating. And then phase two was like 50%, no indoor, whatever. And we were probably in phase three. And I remember it was Memorial Day. I went to my friend's house, the same friend who's having the party tomorrow. And we were talking about it and we're like, man, this is fucking great. We handled it just right. Everyone's going to get back to work, no problem. And I believe it was that day that the George Floyd thing happened, and it was the following morning that it went viral. And I remember sitting outside of in my little patio area. I remember the next day I was watching this video, and I go, at first I thought it was fake. I'm like, is this fucking, did that guy just die? That's crazy. People are going to be really upset about this. That's what I said. I did not realize to the extent, you know, of what everything was about to happen. But
of course.
I remember thinking, like, is that, like, I honestly thought, is that fake? That looks crazy. And then the riots happened and the people to the streets and burning down the 7-Elevens and looting the Targets and all that jazz. And
without masks on.
Without masks. Or even if they did, they were paper masks pulling down the
screen.
They were
in large groups, but it was okay.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, like, this is really going to stifle our progress. Like, this is really going to be bad. And then when I watched the news, they said, oh, no, it's fine if you protest because you have to undo the horrors of slavery for the last, whatever, 400 years, mm-hmm. and that's okay. It's okay to take to the streets for social justice. And I remember the same nurses that were condemning us a week before, calling us grandma killers and telling us to stay in our homes, were applauding people in New York City, like coming outside and applauding
right.
the protesters. And I went, oh, this is all a sham. Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. So it was a really, really bizarre time in history where these two things seemed to overlap so beautifully to really expose what the fuck was going on. And that's not me saying COVID wasn't real. That's just me saying, like, I mean, you know, both things can't be true, right? It's either, you know, racism, obviously racism is wrong. You know, this is a horribly racist country. We need to take to the streets to protest. Simultaneously with, we need to protect ourselves, stay in our homes and isolate. But both of these things can't be true. We can't be, you know, encouraging people to protest at the same time telling them to stay home and isolate themselves because of the pandemic.
Right.
So it's just really beautiful to see these two things overlap and to see, you know, one person who was maybe on the left or one person that was on the right, just have, there was a lot of cognitive dissonance, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hypocrisy. And it was really just kind of, in a weird way, beautiful to see that unfold. And you go, oh, so they all think we're fucking ours and that we're just going to listen to whatever they say. And that the same people that were hiding in their house, a home afraid of COVID, somehow miraculously are not afraid of COVID anymore and are congregating in the thousands. But they have a paper mask on, even though they're sweating and pulling it down and the spit's everywhere. It doesn't matter. We're all safe, and you know this is worth the risk of getting whatever the mm-hmm. justification was. And then that's when I was already on the road to getting red pilled, but that was really like, oh, there's some shit going down right now.
Mm-hmm.
I went hard red, not Republican red, but red pilled. You know,
sure.
where you it's a Matrix reference, folks. 813-90 Bubba. So there's more shit going down, obviously, as we all know. I feel like COVID has passed. Now World War III, or the precipice of which, is kind of entered. And even that's kind of getting phased out because we've been experiencing a lot of shootings
mm-hmm.
recently, which is problematic, I would say. I would say it's problematic. There's a lot of violence in other countries as well. Apparently, a lot of Americans don't seem to look at other countries and what they're dealing with. And they also think that there's just a perfect equivalence between different countries and governments. And well, it worked for A, why can't it work for B?
Right.
It's like, well, you realize that different bodies are different. I feel like, you know, body positivity, maybe something that one diet that works for one person may not work for another. We're all willing to admit that. But somehow when it comes to countries, which have different histories, different cultures, different branches, different types of makeups and parliaments and congresses, somehow there's a perfect equivalence of if it works in country A, it will invariably work in country B. And that's just not the case. And a lot of people don't realize that. Well, worked in Australia. Okay. But, people still kill each other with cars and shit. Mm-hmm. There's still stabbings. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And you have to understand, America's a bit unique because we've had the Second Amendment since the birth of this nation, this great nation. And so there's a lot of guns in circulation. Blitz, can if you were to ballpark the amount of guns from handguns to ARs and AKs and whatever the fuck, if you were to ballpark the amount of guns in circulation in this country,
probably
how many would you?
50 to 60,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, I also mean owner. Oh. Right.
No, I mean millions.
Millions.
Yeah, millions. I mean like many, many, many millions.
Right. So you can't do like a buyback. A lot of people don't want to give up their guns.
No. I will not give up my guns until you can guarantee me the criminals won't have them.
Right. Right. And I feel like since the criminals aren't really playing by the rules,
what?
I doubt that they will probably be willing to volunteer and give up their guns of their own volition. I feel like that's probably not going to happen. So when you have that information, you just screaming about, you know, this, that, and the other and getting rid of guns, that's just, you're just wasting your breath. So like I said before, and I know we were throwing around different ideas about, I hate using the word solutions. I saw it on Newsmax this morning. They were talking about gun solutions. It gives you false hope when you phrase it like that, I think.
Right. There's all kinds of solutions. There's long rifles, shotguns, handguns.
Right.
Yeah.
But all jokes aside, I don't think I know. I don't think that you can really, there is no solution to violence. You know,
correct.
There are just ways to mitigate it, to make it less prevalent, mm-hmm. to incentivize people against it, whatever the case may be. But you're never going to get rid of violence. You're never going to get rid of poverty. You're never going to get rid of homelessness. It's just not going to happen. So how do you make the situation better? So I don't know if that's something you want to call a solution, but a solution makes it seem like it's the problem has been solved.
Right.
And this problem will never be solved, unfortunately.
It doesn't matter what you do, it'll never be solved.
Right, right. So then you have to kind of look at it the other way. All right, so how do we attack it from the front end in terms of what's causing it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you could say mental health or, you know, shit like that. And I was reading an article yesterday about the guy, Salvador Ramos's father, who is also named Salvador Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a little excerpt from him about his son, and he thought his son was a good kid and everything, but then, you know, it says, oh, my son wasn't talking to me for a few months because he said I was a bad dad and I didn't love him and I never saw him, and it's because of the pandemic and I couldn't see him.
I wish he would have killed me.
We didn't have any money because I'm drunk, and apparently he was working, but who knows?
Yeah.
And that my kid had to wear the same clothes every day, and people made fun of him for wearing the same clothes, and that's why he fucking killed 21 people. It's like, you know how many times people get made fun of every fucking day, and they're fine?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually good to get ribbed a little bit when you're a kid, I think, because it builds character.
I like how he says he was a good father, and then like lists all his things that he was a fucked up father about.
I just imagine him being like drunk on the porch, and they're like, do you know what your son did? He's like, just waking up from a nap.
Yeah.
So you can look at it from that end. Obviously, we got to kind of catch people before they turn into the killers. And then you also have to deal with the situation at hand and go, well, how do we protect ourselves
mm-hmm.
with the people who are already out there and they got issues? And you also mentioned I can't remember, but how the pandemic really set people off. And I don't think it was people that were fine from the get. I think it's people that were on the precipice of being crazy as they were, and then the pandemic and being isolated and having too much time on their hands really set them over the edge, and they ended up doing something really fucking heinous and mm-hmm. stupid, which may have been the case with this Salvador Ramos guy. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about him, but you know, you got to think about the like the amount of anger and hate he had in his heart for like humankind is disturbing.
To be
so angry that you want to kill kids,
shoot random kids,
like fuck, like that's a dangerous human being.
It's bad to say, hey, look, I'm gonna shoot you because of like, you know, you made fun of me.
Yes,
but at least like that makes sense.
You go, that adds up.
Yeah, you're like, okay, the guy made fun of him. He, you know,
went
crazy and got revenge. Like that's not right, but like it makes sense.
No, it adds up.
But like to be like, hey, I'm angry because kids in my school are making fun of me, so I'm going to go to a random elementary school and shoot kids?
Is insane. Now, I don't know what the situation was with his grandma. He ended up shooting his grandma in the face. Again.
Right.
Maybe that makes sense. Maybe grandma wasn't too nice. I don't know.
Was shot in the face as she ran outside asking for help?
And called the police.
Well, yeah, she talked to a neighbor because like a neighbor ran over and she's like, oh, this is what he did. He just shot me.
She called the police. You know, maybe she did both. But yeah. That's pretty crazy that she, I don't know where in the face she was shot. Just, I feel like there's not many areas you can kind of get away with getting shot in the face mm-hmm. and then like do stuff.
Well, people need to remember too, like the whole movie thing of like guys running around and shooting another person and like the one bullet makes them fly back and land on the ground, they're dead. That very rarely happens.
Yeah, but when you think face, like,
yeah, but like
if I get shot here, I'm probably not running out of the house.
Unless you get shot here.
Right.
Or here.
Or it's grazed here.
I know somebody who, it's their wife tried to commit suicide, put a gun to her temple, shot, and like went through her brain, temple, and all that, and she lived, and she's, I think, still alive. I don't have to talk
to her.
Can't
do anything right.
Right, I know. Well, she's like, needless to say, she's a little more messed up now.
Great.
But that Blind Buffalo Bill guy that calls did the same thing.
Holy shit. Yeah, he went 390.
Point blank.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, was she like, maybe you don't know the details, but...
I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she was like brought back to life after some surgery or whatnot. But anyways, this guy shoots his grandma in the face. And apparently he made 3 Facebook posts during this whole ordeal. Number one was, I'm gonna shoot my grandma in the face. Now, again, it's hard to get to you within minutes if you post something on Facebook, I imagine, right? So he wrote, I'm gonna shoot grandma in the face. and then he shot his grandma in the face. Then takes, it's funny, not funny, but it's interesting that he then shoots grandma in the face, goes back on Facebook and goes, I just shot my grandma in the face.
Oh, update.
Update. And then...
it's funny that a kid that age would use Facebook.
Right. That is also a red flag.
Yes.
Why is he not on Snapchat?
Right.
Why is he not on... Why is
or
he
at
not,
least
TikTok?
Like Instagram or TikTok. Yeah.
Right. Why is he on Facebook? That's a problem. Thank mm-hmm. you, Blizz, for bringing that up.
Yes.
Then he takes to Facebook for the second post and said, I just shot my grandma in the face. And then, I guess a few minutes later, says on Facebook, post number 3, I'm going to shoot an elementary school. And then proceeds to get in his, I believe it was his grandma's vehicle, the truck, and goes to the nearby elementary school, crashes his truck into a ditch, and then enters the elementary school that was, what do you call it? There was like no locks on the doors, whatever. Just
it was unlocked.
Yeah, unlocked. Gets in there, and there's just a massacre. Now, the big news today and yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't talk about it today.
Like, at all.
I know. It's like the biggest news story out.
Is the fact that there was a massive delay mm-hmm. with the police and law enforcement entering the school.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they said it was like a few minutes, and then 2 days ago, it was 40 minutes, and I'm like, that's crazy. And now I'm hearing it was over an hour.
Yeah, now they're saying it was an hour.
Over an hour.
Yeah.
Over an hour, and I saw the timestamps. They said 11:28 is when he crashed his truck, and 12 minutes later, he entered the school, and then at 12:58, he was killed. So there's like 90 minutes of shit, probably an hour and 15 minutes, where he was actually in the school.
Yeah.
And we're all seeing these horrifying videos of parents screaming and just pleading with law enforcement who have
a lot of guns and they're just standing there.
They're refusing to go in. Now, I was kind of thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, what could be the reason for it? Is it A, we don't want to do something that's going to make us look bad because we've been shit on as police officers for the last 2 years for being too violent and being gun happy, trigger happy? That if we go in there and we start killing people, that we're going to get blamed. And it's like kind of more of a stand down, sort of defund the police sort of thing where we're like, oh, police shouldn't have guns. They shouldn't be armed because they're all pigs. Is it that sort of reasoning where they're just told to not do anything? Is it the fact that, you know, unfortunately, and we were kind of talking about this yesterday, that, you know, they don't want to risk their own lives?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's not them or their kids that are in danger. I don't know. Is it a higher up that told them not to do it? Is it who knows?
Right.
I don't really know. And seems like there's an ongoing investigation.
Well, they're having a big press conference at noon today. They keep showing on here that the police are going to give an update because
of why it took so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really hard to determine, and it's really hard to determine with videos. Sadly enough, that's not enough evidence because you're only getting a minute or two. What happened before?
Mm-hmm.
Were people going in from the other direction and they were getting shot up and they said, oh, we can't right now or whatever?
Right.
There's too many moving parts. It would be nice. I wish I could live in a world where I could just believe whatever I saw. But unfortunately now with people doctoring videos or doctoring them by omitting parts of them, which
right.
is just as bad.
It absolutely is. Especially if they do it on purpose.
Yes. It's hard to know exactly what's going on and why. So I guess there's yet to be more details revealed about mm-hmm. what's going on and why it took over an hour for law enforcement to enter the school. And I just... It's horrifying. I mean, I saw pictures yesterday of, like, there was this girl who was, like, on the honor roll, and her parents were at the school that morning and taking pictures with her because she got, like, an award for being a straight-A student. They said, okay, we'll see you, you know, after school. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 2 hours later, they're getting called to the scene, and they are told that their daughter is dead. I mean, it's just absolutely horrifying, horrifying shit.
Yeah,
really, really sad. So... And, you know, it doesn't take long for people to start politicizing this sort of thing. I wanted to talk about the Beto O'Rourke thing,
mm-hmm.
where he approached Governor Abbott during a meeting about, and it was just a press conference about what happened, and he started yelling at him about political stuff. Which,
the sheriff came up.
Yeah,
the sheriff started.
Yeah, he's like, you're
back.
A son of a bitch. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Which,
you're a sick son of a bitch, is what he said.
Right, right. And it's one of those things where it's, like, disgusting that they're politicizing it, but also, like, what else are you supposed to do if you think that that's the,
exactly.
the solution?
I
you know,
get it.
Like,
I get it.
If you think that the solution is no guns and something happens with a gun, of course you're going to be like, this is why we don't want guns. Like,
right.
that's what
of
they
course.
Think. This Now, it's annoying when it comes from politicians because they're sleazy bags of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it's like I also kind of get it. Is that weird? Where I'm like,
no, of course.
Of course you'd politicize it. You think that you know the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd call for more guns or whatever. This is why we X or this is why
yeah.
we Y. Or so I kind of get it. But we'll see a press conference. You said it will be at noon.
That's what they're saying.
I kind of want to tune in for that to see what they say because that's really fucking bizarre that it took an hour
yeah.
to go in while this guy just shot up. A classroom, and there was actually a kid that survived.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it was mostly just, I think, one or
well, I guess,
two classrooms.
Yeah, and I guess they were like using bodies, like they were piling bodies up on the other people that were still
yeah,
alive.
Yeah, and I think and the intuition to have this like as a 10-year-old kid is insane.
Mm-hmm.
But some of I think there was a girl who like took the blood of a classmate, put it on her face, and pretended she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, it seems to be. Obvious for an adult, but I'm thinking like as a 10 or 9 or 10 year old kid
right.
to have that intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly you didn't train for this, so to think like if I just pretend I'm dead, I don't know, and to take blood and be like, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And just really, really horrifying stories about the police coming in and saying, yell help if you need help. And then I think a little girl did, and the shooter was just like fuck you and shot
mm-hmm.
her and
mm-hmm.
she died. So it's just really, really sad stuff. I don't know. I don't believe in thoughts and prayers. I
right.
believe in, you know, money and policy. But again, it seems like that's not going to be going. It's really fucking sad. And I don't know if you heard about this, but this is like some trippy shit. So it was 19 kids and two faculty members, two adult,
mm-hmm.
two teachers. One of the women that died, her husband had a fatal heart attack.
Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages where they slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Yesterday, so 2 days after the shooting, and he died, and they had four kids.
Oh.
So the kids had a mom and dad on Tuesday morning, and by Thursday, they lost both parents.
Oh.
Can you, I was watching, like, usually CBS News doesn't get me because they over-sensationalize everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when they told that story, I was like, oh my God. What the fuck? Like, right. This is just four kids, and they were like high school sweethearts. They're probably like from the area, but I guess the guy, you know, the man had a congenital heart condition already, and then he found out his wife was murdered,
mm-hmm.
and the stress of it induced a heart attack, and he died. It's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. 813-90-BUBBA. So... that's what's going on in the world, in case you wanted to catch up. So I kind of also understand why people are so into this Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing.
Now you know why I watch Fran Labs.
To just get away from it. This is why I watch ice cream videos and people cracking each other out. By the way, we will be having chiropractor Joseph Cipriano coming in on Tuesday. So it's going to be our first day back, and we're going to get cracked out, which I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is probably... if not the most famous chiropractor on the internet, very close to it. He's got over 2 million followers. And it's so crazy because I've been watching his videos for years, having no idea that he was local in Tampa.
Bright Farm, Johns Island, $19.99.
Woo!
Super chat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bright Farm.
So we're going to have him. And you've never gone to a chiropractor before.
I have
right?
not.
Neither have I. I've had my reservations.
Sure.
About the practice in and of itself, but I also see the amount of relief it gets from people I see on the internet, and also like my friends that go.
I agree.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. You know, if I'm gonna go paralyzed, at least we're gonna get a good YouTube video out of it. So,
and plus, like, the one thing is you've seen him do this a bunch, and they've all lived, the ones you've seen. So
and
it's like
been better going out than coming
right.
in.
Look, I still don't think long-term it's going to do a whole lot of good.
No.
But that's okay.
That's okay. It's going to be fun. And I know that you often complain about not being able to get certain areas, full range of motion and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't, like, crack. I feel like I always have to crack my back, and I, like, rarely can.
He rarely can. And you crack my back all the time. But
yeah,
unfortunately,
you don't even try to do mine.
Well, unfortunately, because of the size difference, it's just a little bit hard to get on a man who's, what, 225, 6'4". It's mm-hmm. just not really in my wheelhouse. I almost died yesterday just practicing the jiu-jitsu with a man who was not nearly as tall as you, a little bit fatter than you, and he was going to make me tap just by like sitting on me mid-move. Like, it was an arm bar, but you kind of have to, like, put the weight on the person on their chest, and I was, like, tapping just by him sitting on me. He's like, oh, I got the arm bar. I'm like, no.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I can't breathe.
You sat on me, bro, and I was like, it was the weight. Like, I could feel, like, especially as a smaller chested person and a smaller person in general, like I can really feel if there's like a heavy weight on my chest, like I can feel my ribs bend. And there was a lot of rib bending, and I'm like, I don't want this to turn into any rib breaking. So please, sir, get the fuck off of me. But yesterday was a great class. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, definitely check out Gracie Tampa South, Matt Arroyo's gym. It's fucking awesome. It's a really cool community of people. And that's just jujitsu in general.
Yeah, and Anna's there 7 days a week now.
7 days a week. No, I can only do probably like 3 to 4. Otherwise, my body just starts to break down. It's like really, it's hard on the body when you hit a certain age and the eggs start dying and the skin starts bruising very easily. But it is a lot of fun. And if I were to give anybody advice about starting, obviously pull the trigger and do it. But also, like, you have to suspend yourself from, divorce yourself from your ego, which is almost impossible. But don't go in there with any expectations of like, oh, I'm a fit person, I'm going to be badass, that this is going to be great. Because you're going to get your ass whooped. And you're going to get your ass whooped by people who are smaller than you, and thinner than you, and younger than you, or older than you, or whatever the case may be. And they're going to throw you around like a fucking ragdoll, and it's going to be embarrassing. They're going to use your own arm to choke you out, and it's going to be in publicly. And people are going to see it, and you have to tap, and sometimes you don't feel too good about yourself, especially when you keep getting caught in the same shit time after time, like me. But, you know, when you do get those small wins, they, like, mean so much. And I feel like it's such a good practice because it really takes it back. And Matt's given speeches about this before. Takes us back to the pre-participation trophy days, you know? That seems to be the standard now. For people who, you know, want to feel included, they want to feel like my kid is doing great, everybody's equal, this, that, and the other. Matt doesn't run a studio like that or his gym like that. You have to earn your stripes. You have to earn your belts. And just because you started and you've been doing it for a year or two or three or four, it doesn't mean you are guaranteed anything. Mm-hmm. You have to put in the work and you have to get good. Like it's not just, oh, you spent X amount of time. It's like, all right, if you know that you aren't as good as the next person and you're not as coordinated or whatever the case may be, not as flexible, that you're going to have to put in the extra work to match the standard that they have in the studio to get your blue belt, purple belt, whatever. So that was really cool. He's like, Matt was like, I don't give a fuck about the outside world political correctness. He goes, in this gym, like, we earn our shit, you know? Mm-hmm. We earn it here. Just because you come to class doesn't mean you're going to get anything. He's like, you gotta put the work in. You gotta get good. Otherwise, he's like, I'm never gonna give you a blue belt or purple belt or brown or black belt if I don't think that you deserve it or earned it or you're not good enough. He's like, sorry. He's like, what would be worse? Like, he's like, how embarrassing would it be for you if I just gave you a blue belt and then you're getting your ass whooped by a bunch of white belts? Like, he's like, I don't wanna put you in that situation. He's like, no one wins in that situation except the white belts. It's like, that would be embarrassing. So it's nice to kind of go back to that. It shouldn't even be called old school way of doing things, but, you know, earning things. I feel like that's like old school now. Earning your way, getting good through trial and error and hard work and time.
That's like it crazy.
I know. It seems crazy, but it is nice. And I think it's it attracts a certain type of person, this jiu-jitsu especially, or any martial art or any sport. But I feel like especially jiu-jitsu because the time frame to get good is so long. Like, in order to become like really good in the sport, you have to put in at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. So because it's such a long time frame, everybody there is cool or understands the idea of delayed gratification. Like, you're not going to be a black belt in a month, sort of a deal. You can't shotgun your way to the top. And everybody is understanding that they have to put their ego down or aside in order to learn new things. Because you're just never going to learn unless you go, okay, I don't know how to do this, please help me. Mm-hmm. So when you come into the gym or any place with that sort of mindset, I feel like you're really going to attract a different variety of person. Someone who has like a growth mindset, someone who wants to learn new things, someone who doesn't just think that they're right or the best all the time. I can't tell you how humble people are in there, even if it's fake.
Right.
I appreciate the gesture.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go up to someone who's like a purple belt and I'm like, maybe I don't know because they're not wearing a gi. And I'm like, oh, like, what's your belt? And they're like, A lot of times I'll go, I'm a sorry excuse for purple belt or something like that. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. But they do. It's like this very humbled. I have not yet met one person that's like, I'm a fucking badass bitch.
Right.
You know, even Matt Arroyo comes in and he's like, oh, that girl, Erin Harp, she could whoop my ass. And she's a chick and she's like 40 pounds lighter than me. But she's so good that, you know, she could take my back or something. It's just such a humbling experience. So if you want to try something new, it doesn't matter. There's people in my classes that are 17. There's people in my classes that are 62.
Right.
And not that 62, but the age 62.
No, I've seen them. They're 62.
So anyways, it's really cool. Wow, I've been rambling for quite some time. So we'll take a little bit of a break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Perfect.
Oh, actually, I'm going to change the song. Stand by. Oh, no.
What's your name, little girl?
Phone call right now, but that's no problem. Welcome back to Off the Rails with Anna and Blitz, who will be shortly back with us. The number to dial is 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to join us. It is the start, the kickoff to summer, Memorial Day weekend. I'm excited for it, although now I feel like in my more advanced age, Memorial Day used to always just be about sales and summer. You know, I never really used to associate what it actually is during the time. It was usually when I would go to a music festival and take ecstasy or Molly or whatever, or both, or who knows. Hello, sorry. I didn't know how long you're gonna be on the call, so I just
No, you're good. I had to call Lummy for
yeah,
a little bit.
You're good. So now it seems to be the fact that I'm a little bit more aware of Memorial Day. I've always knew what it was, but you just go Memorial Day JCPenney sales. Like that's what I as a kid remember doing the cookouts with parents and family. I don't come from an American military home. So there was no sort of, well, actually that's kind of a fucking lie. I just lied. I forgot my grandma was a nurse in World War II. My grandfather was in the Air Force, but
did your dad serve?
Not in the American Army. He was in, again, I said America. I specified
okay.
American, military,
okay.
But my father was in the South African Army because there was a draft. I didn't even know if there was a draft. There was just conscription. Like you had to, mm-hmm. enter the military when you were 18. And so my dad was sent into war in Angola, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw some heinous shit that, you know what, he never talked about. Never. He wrote a book about it. I think it was in, he plugged it when he came on the show. It was probably about
that.
A decade ago. And he wrote about some of his experiences. And I think while reading that book was the first time that I learned about some of his experiences. I don't think my dad has PTSD or anything like that. I think he's seen a couple dead bodies. I don't know if that freaks everybody out the same way that maybe it would freak me out. But it was like, it was weird. I think it was also kind of like, I don't want to say they're Vietnam, but I think they were also trying to stifle communism, like stamp out communism. And that's why they were going to some countries in Angola and...
Mm-hmm.
And trying to, I honestly don't really know what they were doing there. You think I would fucking know, or at least investigate, which is something I will do this weekend. But yeah, so my dad did that, and then he moved to Israel and joined the army there. And that is also another country where you turn 18, you got to go into the military. And I've said this before, but a 22-year-old American person and a 22-year-old Israeli person are on completely different fucking planets. Because when I was traveling in Thailand, there were heaps of Israelis everywhere. Because after they get out of the military, they go on sabbatical for sometimes more than a year. And they go off to India or Southeast Asia. They just want to go explore and see shit. And I remember meeting a guy named Kfir, and he was a 22-year-old veteran sniper. And I'm like, what? Like, my brain couldn't even process that.
What was
that.
His name?
Kfir.
How do you spell it?
C-F-I-R.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still friends with him on Facebook.
I was going to say, if it's K-A-F-I-R, that's kind of interesting.
No. Not Kafir, but
I was like,
Kfir.
Wow, he's an infidel?
No. He was Israeli, like, had sandy brown hair and blue eyes. And I remember meeting him, and he's like, well, you know, what do you do? Or like, whatever. And I was like, oh, like, I just got out of school. Like, I mm-hmm. bartended. I was in Australia for a year. It was like super fun. Like, did a lot of stuff. I like went to Melbourne, went to like New Zealand. It's like super cool. And I'm like, what do you do? And he goes, oh, I just got out of the army. I'm like, oh, yeah, what'd you do there? And he's like, I was a sniper. And I'm like, what? Come again? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, me, I don't want to say asking dumb but obvious questions, but I wanted him to tell me, I'm like, have you, so you've like seen did someone
in the... Did you use a gun?
I did ask that. No, I didn't. Of course, I knew that much. But I'd be like, so you'd see someone like in the distance and then you'd shoot them and they'd fall dead? He's like, yeah, that was my job. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, are you okay? He's like, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to do that?
Fuck no.
Oh.
No way. Now, again, you know, he's also protecting his country. It's not like sure. he's doing this to random civilians.
Right.
It's people that are trying to do the same thing to him. But nevertheless, I mean, that's some heavy shit to deal with as a young person. And me and my, I'm still thinking I'm a grown infant, and he is this veteran man who went to war and basically lives in a constant state and fear of war in Israel, mm-hmm. which is pretty much the vibe. You know, it's you're living in a community that doesn't want you there. You are surrounded by countries that don't think you have the right to exist.
Right.
And that's where you grow up and like play yeah. and I mean,
you're
you know, watch
forced
sports.
Upon them.
Right. Exactly. So just a completely different outlook and maturity level. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. You
right.
know, I think it's maybe not the best to have experienced death and destruction. Forget about at 18, but at any age, like the fact that I'll never have to go through that, you know, hopefully is the not death and destruction. Obviously that happens, but going to war, not every American yeah. experiences that, you know, it's probably better for your mental health that you're kind of shielded mm-hmm. from certain things. And that's, you know, I have a massive respect for people who go into the fire. Of course.
Yeah.
But I'm also, the risk that you run, obviously, is your life, and also the fact that you aren't going to be the same person when you return. That's just a fact of life. And I can't remember what sort of, maybe it was that 9/11 series we were watching, but I remember somewhere, some guy who went to Afghanistan, like his superior told him on the way back home, he goes, now this is like the hardest part is going home. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to be with my family. He goes, no, this is actually the hardest part. Trying to get back into civilian life after you've seen so much shit and then try to relate to your family again or your friends or people just all, hey, how's it going? You're just like, you know, still shook up from mm-hmm. all of the horrible things you had to see overseas. So interesting stuff. Not sure how we got there. 813-90-BUBBA. Oh, yeah, Memorial Day. So despite all that, it's nice to have a three-day weekend. And when we return, it will be pretty much June, which is frightening that the time is just slipping away. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like time is going faster now? Because people say, oh, you know, since the pandemic, it's just going faster. But I feel like even before that,
yeah,
it just kind of accelerates. The older you get, the faster it goes.
It does.
Right? And that makes sense because,
well, sure.
like, when you were a kid and you only had 7 years under your belt, a summer was an eternity.
Of course it was.
You're just like, summer? Like, oh, my, we're going to be different wait, people at the end of that.
You mean I got to wait 5 minutes? That's like a lifetime.
I know, right. But then when you're, you know, our age or older, it just seems to slip between mm-hmm. your finger. Like, New Year's Eve felt like not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost half a year ago. So that's pretty fucking crazy. But it is what it is. I definitely think I may have overplanned this weekend, which I mentioned before. And there is something that I, like, kind of want to talk about, but I can't. I can't do it.
No.
But it would be great. And you guys fucking love it. But I can't do it because I'm trying to live a more noble life, and I'm also trying to be more compassionate to people who did not choose this life in radio. I chose this life in radio, and the people around me did not. So when they start doing stuff that I want to talk about, even though they've explicitly told me not to talk about it, your urge is you really want to talk about it. And I kind of get why Bubba gets in so much trouble, because you almost can't help yourself. Like, I was in that chair. You're just like, I want to fucking say it. But you can't, because that's not nice. And you assholes listening would never just let it lie. You would never just, you know, take the information and carry on with your day. You'd reach out to people. You'd find people on the internet.
Yeah.
You'd ruin my fucking life. you know? Yeah, so I can't talk about certain things.
Bunch of fucking reacher outers.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know the deal with you guys and how you operate.
Especially some of you.
Yeah. Especially some of you.
That I wish I could name.
That I wish I could name too. But I can't. So I'm just sitting here, gritting my teeth, trying to be a better person, and it's fucking the worst. I hate being a better person. Sucks. I wish I didn't give a fuck about any of you guys, and I could just say what I want to say, and I wouldn't even care if you guys reached out to whoever. It doesn't matter, but I can't do it because it's fun in the moment, but then you have to deal with the rest of your life, and then I don't want to deal with all these people and the fucking backlash and everything.
Okay, fine. It's Big Red.
It is Big Red.
Yeah, no, it's all your fault, Big Red.
It's not Big Red. At all. Oh, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Yes.
And which is why I'm also maybe canceling my plans on Saturday because it just, you know, one barbecue is enough.
Can we tell what I told you to tell Big Red, though?
What did you tell me to tell me, Big
Red? About Sunday.
I don't remember. What?
Have him not do something.
Blitz.
What?
You're such a fucking asshole.
What? What?
Big Red, Blitz wanted me to tell you not to burn the fucking ribs again. That's what he said. You're such a dick. Poor guy. Do you know how much he does for us?
I know he does. I love Big Red.
He does so much for us. You do so much for us. And I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that realizes it.
Oh, he knows. He's a don't burn the food. He knows.
I know.
See,
he knows. He knows. That's not what I was referring to.
And it sucks, too, because that feeling is so bad. Like, they are perfect 20s for that. And, like, it just gets away from you. And then everyone just, then you never live it down.
Yeah. And you spend all the money. I'm sorry. But
you're the man, Big Red.
You are. And we're excited to see you. But yes, I'm trying to be more cognizant.
Mm-hmm.
Not even cognizant and not even aware, just being a better person. Like I was aware before, but I sometimes, you know, you just don't care and you just let it fly, as I say. So I'm not going to let it fly. I'm going to try to be mindful of the fact that, you know, some people don't want their... It's not even dirty laundry. It's just their private lives out on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's difficult because they it's just so juicy. And I want to share the juiciness with you guys, but I can't. So that's all I can say about that. That's all I can say about that. Let's take a phone call. I just had to let that out. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Anna. It's Kim. I've called, I think, a couple of times and talked to you on Blitz.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, from Charleston.
Right.
I've got a funny, cute, very cute story to tell you on Blitz.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
My daughter is almost 10, she's 9 and a half. She has Asperger's. She's almost like Elon Musk. I mean, she's exactly like Elon Musk. Like, it's like a Blitz head that they do the numbers in the head, but socially
she's... So she's like good at math? Right?
She is like, no, well, she'll ask you, for example, she'll come up with the answer. But exactly like Elon, I mean, she is amazing, right, with math. Like, she'll say, Anna, when was your dad born? And she doesn't want you to tell her anything because she wants to figure out the numbers, how old he is, right?
Okay, so she is good at math. Okay.
She's good at everything.
Except
everything. She's just all
being
over
person.
The board.
Okay, go ahead.
But she lacks social, you know, with
right.
her social with the kids, mm-hmm. like a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, I was listening to the after show with Bubba a couple of days on one sofa. She was on the other sofa. And it was a whole thing about this, the guy with the girl and the preacher,
right.
whole thing with the preacher.
The Warsaw, Indiana caper.
Right. And so the husband, she was on her Nintendo Switch. And that's just her. You don't think she's paying attention. Which I'll have, you know, when I'm listening to you guys in the morning, when I'm driving her to school, you know, I'll turn it down if I hear, like, language or mm-hmm. something. I'll turn it mm-hmm. down. But she's so sharp. And so when y'all were talking about, or when Bubba was talking about this guy and he threw the ring, remember? Mm-hmm. And he was so upset. And I talked to myself. I don't know if you did this, but I talked to myself. I'm like, I started laughing because I'm huge, you know, Blitz and Anna fan.
Aww.
So I'm talking to myself on the other sofa, and I go, oh, my God. I said, I wonder what would happen if that was Blitz and Anna. And my daughter looked at me, and she goes, Mom, you know that song, one of the songs you like by Coldplay, Rush Your Blood to the Head? That's what would happen. And I'm thinking, what is she? And then I went and read the lyrics to Rush Your Blood, Rush to Blood of the Head. by Coldplay. You got you and Blitz got to listen to it. It is so Blitz.
Oh, no.
Why? So Blitz. We'll go read it after the show, but why is it so Blitz?
Oh, it's just, I don't know if you have the board like Bubba has where you can play it.
No, I don't.
Well, we're not allowed to because of copyright.
Oh, it's a copyright. It's like
So just give us a synopsis about why.
I'm gonna buy this place and burn it down. You and Blitz go look at it, and you're just gonna be amazed at how this 9-year-old put that together with what she was listening to with me on the other sofa. It's incredible.
Wow. It's like a sixth sense or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's we.
That's kind of how I imagine your daughter a little bit. Remember that kid in the Sixth Sense? Is your daughter kind of like that kid in the Sixth Sense? Like brilliant in a sort of offbeat way.
No, she's brilliant, and she has like perfect pitch with music. She can tell you like when Beethoven was born, when he died. Anybody, Einstein, who created polio? She's one of those like
who created polio?
Yeah, who created polio?
Yeah. She tells me, do you know Saltzer? I forgot the name. Saltz or something. Anna, I don't know. I don't look these things up.
How high are you right now, Kim?
Not Jonas Salk.
It was, I don't know. She will tell me. I don't know where she gets it from.
I don't know where she gets it from either. Where is she right now? Is she at school or?
Is she safe?
She's at school right now. And in fact, we live right by, this Radius 98. We live right in that neighborhood behind 98 Rock.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. Well, that was a great story. You weren't lying.
No. But how she came up with that, I have no idea.
Me neither. So,
but just when you get a chance with you and Blitz. Go look at the lyrics.
We're probably going to end the show early just so we can go look at the lyrics as soon as possible. Kim,
please promise me you
will. I promise you. I will.
I just found the A-track. Right. I'm going to play it in my car on the way home.
Thank you, Blitz. That's very funny. All right, bye.
Okay, bye. You have fun with you and your Stranger Things daughter, okay? What a crazy bitch. That was crazy. Anyways, I think
hamburgers
that,
do sound good, though.
What do?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers?
Yeah.
Did she mention hamburgers?
She said something about hamburgers or something. I don't know.
I have no idea what she was saying. Guys, I think that's pretty much it for today. I think that's a good place to end. I don't know where the fuck she was going with that.
We gotta go listen to Coldplay.
We gotta go listen to Coldplay right now. So I'm gonna do the next song. That was a fail on my part. It's kind of upbeat. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
This is very like Caribbean.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Stock Caribbean. Thank you, Blitz, for all that you do.
Thank you.
And to you all listening, all 146 of you, thank you. Oh, that was just on YouTube.
There's 7 million on Facebook right now.
Perfect. That's about right. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Don't forget what it's really about. But maybe do as well so you can enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. Also that as well. But have fun with your families. Hold your kids a little bit tighter. Be appreciative of what you got. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Goodbye.